Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Testing, testing on the top channel.
Hi, I'm here on the bottom channel. I'm stuck. Help me. Fuck, I can't get out. But there's so many tops here.
That'll do.
Okay, how do I sound? How's my reading?
You are reading down, girl. Don't even
I'm reading
start.
These bitches to death. I'm reading to Tartarus hell. Oh.
Welcome back to the Kibitz.
Hi, guys.
The weekly podcast where a bimbo genius and a pedantic yapper chit-chat about whatever the hell we want. I'm Connor Goldsmith.
I'm Jordan Block, and I'm vibing out right now. I'm vibing the fuck out right now, guys.
It's a vibe. There's a lot of vibing happening.
And there's a lot of vibing in this space.
It's December, season's greetings.
Yes, it is. It is December now. Thank God we made it to the end of the year.
We've made it to the end of 2025, which is a real
feat. I barely made it, girl.
I did not know we could do that. And
I did not think I would for a hot minute there.
What can't we do now is my question.
Truly. Oh my God, this is also reminding me we're going to have to do like a special like end of the year kibitz. We should think about what we're going to do.
We'll plan. We'll yeah, think. We'll
I know.
Something.
If you're a Patreon subscriber and you've given us money, or if you want to give us money to have an opinion that we will take into consideration, you can subscribe. But maybe tell us what you think would be cute for our New Year's lineup episode.
Actually, particularly the gigabits tier listeners. Yes. Uh-huh. Give us some feedback in the DMs on Patreon about what you would like to see for the holiday
yes,
special.
Please.
Because
please.
You give us the most money and therefore
yes.
matter.
Your
to
opinions
us the
count
most.
More. Yes,
yeah, they
absolutely.
Just do. That's how that
yeah,
works.
They just do. Sorry,
and
bitch.
If you would like to matter more, you can pay us more. Patreon.com/kibitzcast.
And that's in our terms and conditions, babe.
Jordan's doing a click clacky thing with her nails to demonstrate, like a beckoning, come forward and pay.
I'm doing an ASMR thing. Right
there you go. Yeah,
there
right.
There you go. Oh, yeah. We need to bring more ASMR into this podcast.
I will let you spearhead that because I think that my voice is dramatic, but not necessarily soothing.
I think that also describes you as a person.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair.
Also, I would get the same.
No, neither of us are particularly soothing people. I don't really think that that's our mission. That's not really our ministry. But, you know, we entertain. And that, I
exactly.
think, is what
Absolutely.
Really matters at the end of the day.
If you're going through it, I can give you a damn good head scratch. And I'm good for, like, softly cradling someone in my arms, like a mother with a baby lamb. That's as far as it gets.
I'm very comforting. I'm good at, like, I'm the mom friend who's very good at, like, oh, you're in crisis,
exactly.
let's manage.
Uh-huh.
But
Same.
I wouldn't say that I, like, soothe.
Exactly. Comforting is different than soothing.
It's different.
I wouldn't say I, like, put people's neurons at peace.
No, I'm like, all right, girl, let's talk it out.
Yeah, it's like a key relationship thing.
And then I'll hold you while you cry, but it's, like,
exactly.
not, like, we're not soothed.
Yes.
We're
yes,
hyped.
No, exactly. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. No, it's like a key thing in relationships with me. It's like, of course, like everyone should know that like you don't come to my house if you want a chill girl. Okay. That's simply
no.
like, do
no.
not expect your brain to be in a constant state of like quiet around me.
I think that really you should anticipate. It's sort of like a magnet. And this is, I'm not good at science, but anyone who is in any way trying to chill will be drawn into your field.
Yeah.
Because
oh,
it's an
absolutely.
Opposite thing.
Uh-huh,
and then you
absolutely.
Will pull them away to the land of fairy and they will
yes,
not know
exactly.
what has happened. And I think
absolutely,
that's often good yeah. for them.
Yes, and but, also good for me because I do by osmosis chill out a bit.
A little bit. You absorb it. Yeah. It's a little bit succubus core, but like
exactly.
in a symbiotic rather than parasitic way.
Absolutely. Exactly. Exactly. I thrive in symbiosis. No, it's like I live at a 10. Like the right chill person can take me down to like 8-7 max.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And that's great.
How are you this week in general, my love?
You know, we're having a good week this week. We're having a good this week. I am like a little just like physically exhausted. It has been like a lot. Just like the year, all of the things. My body is famously going through so much right now.
Mm-hmm.
And like always, my body is famously always going through so much. But we're in a good, like, we're in a good week of peace this week, which I've very much been enjoying. Life has been at kind of like a placidity that I am like very much loving. No new horrors yet. Knock on wood.
Knock, knock.
Yes, exactly. So it's like a good time to just like be tired and need to like rest a little bit. This weekend, I am like decidedly not going outside because famously I am always outside every single weekend and have been since time immemorial.
This weekend, I am in LA. So if you would be inside and like vibe out,
yeah,
I'm around.
Okay, cute. Oh my God, we do need to text about that. We need to figure that out.
We'll
slay
text,
queen.
Yeah.
Big yeah, slay yeah, queen. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. No, I'm busy Saturday, Sunday, obviously, as we know, every week. Shut up. Don't get into it.
Well, but now that you're not at a corporate job, we could hang out Monday or Tuesday. My
exactly.
God, who knows?
Oh my God, right. The weekday openness. I know, it's so huge.
Well, I'm glad you're coming out of the horrors, at least.
Yes. Oh my God, vital. Vital. Yeah, exactly.
I think December is for exhaustion. I think it's
yes,
like the month
exactly.
where you're supposed, because no one is going to ask that much of you in December
exactly.
because they're all like also tired, right?
Right. Oh, well, I did have to like literally yesterday. Was it yesterday? Yeah. Yesterday, I was like, no, I need to like, I was supposed to stay in last weekend. I did not because I'm like so easily convinced. I was like, no, I'm actually going to have like stay in weekend this week. And like had to cancel 4 things off of my weekend agenda.
Sometimes it's important to just take a minute.
And I don't think I've taken a minute all year. So I'm doing that now.
No, it's been a year of go, 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 go.
Yes, I know. Miss Jordan has not stopped going. And she needs a respite.
That is the thing that's difficult about LA too, though, is like I haven't really been going out lately, even though I had started going out again. Like we've talked about this when I quit drinking, I was like, I'm not going out for a bit. But then I was like, I'm out again and it's fine.
Yeah.
But it's fucking cold out.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like freezing outside. So I'm like, well, I'm simply not going out.
No, it's frigid. It's
stops
frigid.
Being 30 degrees because I don't need
unless
to be outside in
absolutely
that.
Not. That's none of my business.
That is none of my fucking business.
None of my fucking business. The cold has nothing to do with me. We simply are not privy to each other.
But in LA, where it's like still, it gets cold at night, but otherwise it's still like regular for LA.
Yeah.
It's easier to be like, well, I'll just go to this day party on the beach on like December 10th.
Yeah, exactly. No, like literally 2 weeks ago. We had like a quick monsoon season.
I heard about that. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was kooky crazy. I had to like drive back home like at night in like the most insane rain I've ever experienced in my fucking life.
They called it like an atmospheric river or whatever. And I'm like, it's rain. It's called rain.
It's rain.
California
it's called
is
rain.
Always like, there's an atmospheric river. I'm like, that's called a storm. It's called rain.
It's called a
there's
storm.
Thunder.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like an amount of rain that would be like very manageable for anyone else. But because LA specifically is just like physically not built or
well, it doesn't have any storm drains or anything like that because it wasn't supposed to rain in LA. So now the climate.
Yeah, exactly.
No, like that block in Norma Triangle where I lived.
Yeah.
Whenever it rained at all, it would be like up to your knees practically.
It's,
because
it's
there's
biblical.
Nowhere for the water to drain.
Exactly. It's just there. No, and like the fucking freeway, it was like mid tire. Like I was going like 10 miles an hour on the freeway, pitch black.
I don't like that.
And no, I was like, this is like where I go. This is the end of me. This is it for me.
Yeah.
Making it home, like driving 30 miles on a wish and a prayer. It was crazy.
Well, I remember I was saying to someone once, this will be good for the drought problem, right? And they were like, no, it actually does not work that way. And I was like,
unfortunately.
Oh, well, because like, it doesn't go there. I was like, okay, great. Well,
yeah. Nope. Yeah. So no, still desiccated and decrepit.
Just damp also occasionally sometimes. Uh-huh. Yeah,
exactly. You would think that one would cure the other. Unfortunately not. Yeah. Water everywhere. Not a drop to drink.
But in happier news, I caught up on All's Fair this week. Did you watch Today's?
I did not watch Today's. I'm going to watch it tonight.
I won't spoil anything then, but I just need to stress, and we know this already, but Sarah Paulson and Niecy Nash should win Emmys for this show.
Absolutely. Which is absolutely crazy. Hands down, no question.
Especially Glenn Close. They should all win Emmys for this show. It's insane.
It's psychotic.
And Naomi Watts got to do things this episode.
Okay, period. I saw she was in a clip that I saw, and I was like,
it's a plot point that they did all this important stuff without her last week. And she's annoyed about
it.
So that's
fantastic.
Fun.
Fantastic. I love that. Absolutely.
I think she literally had to like be in England that week or something when they were filming. And she's
God, that's so funny.
And so they wrote it into the show, but it's funny.
I know. It's like, I love that they let her film this week.
Yeah. It's like, well, you know, I think what they're building toward is like she and Sarah Paulson, they're going to be like the real rivals and that. Because Kim, God love her, and I think she is, we've talked about this, getting better each week.
Yeah.
She can't compete in those scenes.
Absolutely
with Sarah Paulson.
Not. Absolutely not. Sarah Paulson is on that set beating her ass.
Yeah. Whereas,
washing
like,
her.
When Naomi and Sarah are saying heinous things to each other under their breath, you're like, this works.
Yeah, exactly. They can compete on that level.
Yeah, right. No, exactly. Yeah.
I'm so excited to watch. It's gonna be my treat before bed. I can't
wait. At this point, I genuinely think this show is good. I'm good.
I've turned like an insane corner on this.
Yeah, I'm like, haters, stay pressed. The first episode is incredibly bad, but
it is in like ways you can't even fathom.
But this show is good.
You also, in turn, cannot fathom how genuinely, completely thrilling and entertaining it gets by, like, episode 4.
Yeah, and, like, in episode 6, when the big thing happens to Glenn Close, I was like, oh.
I know.
Glenn said, if you forgot.
I was fucked up.
If you forgot who I am.
Exactly. If you forgot that I'm the lauded Glenn Close.
If you forgot that I am the most overdue for an Oscar-ass bitch alive on Earth today.
Yes.
8 nominations. I'm going to show you why.
Exactly.
In the middle of Ryan Murphy's All's Fair, I am going to show you exactly who I am.
In the words of Denzel Washington, I am leaving here with something.
Period.
Period, bitch.
And I love that for her.
Queen. I'm so excited about this. I am so excited to dive into it tonight. There's so much happening in culture.
Yes. What have you loved this week in culture?
So my two big things, we have the same list and I love that. It's so similar.
I love when we sync up.
We do. Our roads ever cross. And I love it because it's just like our psychic rapport means you caught everything that I just did not have the mental capacity to enter on here.
I was like, she's having a week, so I'm just going to fill out my section more than I usually do. And I just assume that, because we've texted about a few of these things. It's like, I know she has thoughts.
Exactly. You know, she's been in the culture this past week. But no, the two things like dominating my psyche right now are two shows. One, gay hockey yaoi. Heated Rivalry,
the Canadian Crave original airing on HBO Max.
Yes.
This hockey yaoi is... So I'm going to be very real. I am only 30 minutes into the first episode, but that's because I needed to pause and take a break.
Yeah.
I was like, this is like a... I might need to watch this in the tub.
No, absolutely. So the premise is not that crazy. It's like gay hockey yaoi.
If you've ever seen a slash fan fiction about sports stars by a woman, it's that.
Yeah, it's that. Yeah, absolutely.
They're the two biggest rising 19-year-old hockey prodigies in the world.
That both look at least 28.
Yeah, well, but that's because every three scenes, it's like 6 months later. So I think they are going to be 28, like shortly. I know.
They're trying to catch up. Yeah, I got that too. Yeah, no, they have to work at breakneck pace to like get up to speed here.
But also, like, no teenager has ever had an ass like the ass on that Russian. I know he's
absolutely not Russian, but
that is a redefinition of what an ass on a white man can look like. And I'm annoyed because I, as a flat-assed white man, now feel like I'm being held to a hockey yaoi standard that I can't meet.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. Oh, my God. When he's laid up, ass poked out, going to town on that dick, when he's, like, posed up with, like, one leg high, like, literally, it was like a gale force wind blew through the apartment.
Well, when he's cruising him in the showers, I opened my eyes real big and went, wow,
I say,
okay.
Damn, white bitch.
That actor who is so hot, his name is Connor, which stresses me out, but it is spelled correctly, which I like, so that's fine.
Yes. Period.
Also, he has a prominent facial mole on his cheek.
Yes.
And as a faggot of prominent facial mole experience with a big beauty mark on my cheek, it's important representation for me in that way. So
absolutely.
I feel very
seen. They're doing important callbacks to Connor right now.
I cannot believe, again, I haven't even finished the pilot yet, but only two episodes are out, and I cannot believe how good this is. I was expecting it to be like trash.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Trash that I would watch from beginning to
end. Like for fun, but like it's
going
not.
Through like a whole box of tissues in a variety of ways.
But yes, exactly, because this is... I paused because I was like, I have to savor this one. This is not a like watch. This is definitely not a watch this while I do other things.
No, absolutely. I am entirely focused there on maybe doing one thing while I watch this.
Other things going on, but it's not like my
exactly.
Bills. You know what
I'm
I mean?
Not
like I'm not going
mopping.
For my mail.
I'm not mopping while I bust up, but you best believe I'm gonna need to mop up after.
Exactly. So this is a crazy good show that I'm frankly stunned by, because it is, again, a very basic premise of like closeted athletes. They can't be together, but they want to be together. Tragedy, etc. I'm sure it's going to be a big melodrama. And then probably like Red, White and Royal Blue style, it ends with them getting to be together and being famous gay hockey players, even though that's literally never happened ever.
Yes, right. Ever in history. And that is why we write fan fiction.
Yeah, the NHL, I believe, is still the only major sport in America, at least, where no professional athlete, past or present, has ever come out, like even after retiring.
That's very funny. That's very funny.
But that said, with the insane gay hockey propaganda, and I am so proud of this Fujo. Because I
know. One of our best Fujoshis is doing like masterclass work here.
I know many a hockey Fujo, and this is like a thing. Like, the hockey girls are a thing.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
And I've never understood it, because like hockey to me is not a particularly sexy sport. But watching this, I get it, because they're in these hugely bulky uniforms that then you have to peel off and reveal the insane body beneath.
Yeah. And the giant ass. Hockey butt is one of my favorite things on this earth.
Yeah, it's rugby-esque in a way that I appreciate, that I value.
Yeah.
This is, I think, the formula that all gay softcore porn should have from now on.
Absolutely, I think
a Fujoshi writes the source material.
Yes, exactly.
And then a gay man adapts it for screen
and
directs it.
Exactly, for film. Exactly. Because you need like a Fujoshi's like particular sense of romance.
Yeah, girl, gay men don't like a plot. You don't want a plot.
Exactly, exactly.
We want a plot, but we don't want to write it.
Exactly. And as a Fujoshi, that is what I need in my porn, okay?
Yes.
I want, like, at least 10 hours of story here while I come, okay? It's vital.
I was sitting there watching it, like, why isn't gay porn like this anymore? And
I know. Thank you.
The internet and OnlyFans and everything has just broken it.
All of our Fujoshis have moved on to different mediums.
But like back in the day, Joe Gage movies would have a plot, goddammit.
Yes, exactly.
So like, can we please
exactly.
get a plot
Take
back
us
in the mix?
Back.
And if we need to draft women to write the plot, I support it.
Yes, I am on the front lines of that war. Get women in the men.com writer's room. Please, I'm begging you. Bring our Fujoshis back to the writer's room table.
Please. I need something.
please, I'm begging. All of our lives will be all the better for it.
And the plot can't just be, we can't have sex. I'm dating your stepdaughter. And then like 3 seconds in, they're fucking. No, I want a plot. I want some build up.
Exactly. And the plot can be that. I want an
But I want
to it,
them to
okay?
show us them at dinner first.
Exactly.
I want to see scenes
Please.
Where like they are like making eyes at each other at
Thank you.
Oh,
thank you.
This grad student who's dating my stepdaughter, I shouldn't want him. I'm a high-powered lawyer. And he's straight. And he's like, not that straight. And then it's a plot. Give me a plot.
Honestly, I think this show and like the conversation about like Fujoshi source material is bringing up like an existential problem in gay culture right now that I have been witness to for a long, long time and is central in my sex life. Gay men, by virtue of not having to like interact with women's sexuality, have like largely lost the art of romance and foreplay in like sex.
Yeah.
It's like way too centered in a quick nut. Like, take your time, baby. Take your time. This can go on 4 hours if we want it to, if you let it, if you let that into your heart, into your spirit, into your mind, into your body. What are you rushing for? Where do you have to be? Okay.
But at the same time, this show, because a gay man created it, understands that they do need to be sucking dick and cock by minute 25 or I'm out.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. Exactly. Exactly. Right. They do need to cater to the male brain.
But this is the alchemy. This is it.
Yes. Exactly, exactly.
Cujo erotica transformed by gay men into gay softcore porn.
Exactly,
or
exactly.
Hardcore, please, I'm begging you, but we'll start here.
And it's also, like, there is something that, like, the gay male perspective is lending to this, which is the Fujoshi instincts need to be tempered, as in, like, I cannot have them, conversely, barely grazing lips for 5 episodes.
Yeah, I can't have them behaving how men don't behave.
Yes, exactly. Number one, it's unrealistic. Number two, like, I do want a nut at least once. Like,
episode.
By episode 5.
Twice,
yes.
Ideally, right.
Ideally, once or twice per episode. Like, there needs to be a middle ground,
I
and this
have
show
to
has
pause
found the middle
at minute 35 to be like, I'm going
exactly.
to save the rest for 12 hours from now.
Thank
that
you.
Is
exactly.
my feeling on how this show should work.
Period. I watched this in like a very hilarious scenario with a friend where like I had not watched it yet. Shut up, Connor. I had not watched it yet. So I didn't
you
know.
You can't
like,
see my face, but my face is very
I know,
funny.
Connor's giving me a face. Connor's giving me a face. No, I watched
it's
it with
just,
a friend.
It's an ongoing face.
Shut up. Shut up. Shut up. No, watch it with a friend. And like we had just like made dinner and it was like very like okay now we get to like set like sit down and watch a show. I was not prepared for like how horny it was going to
it's
get
raunchy.
How, that
it's
quickly
raunchy,
it's
really
raunchy
quickly.
Uh-huh. And we're both looking at each other like this is like a like I need to step away. I need to step away. I need to go into a room in which there are no others.
I felt like I was too exposed watching it in my living room. I was like, I have to take this into the bedroom, actually.
This needs to go into
because,
the bedroom, exactly.
Well,
number
like,
one,
there's an
I
elementary school across the street, and I'm way up in the sky, but I was just like, the children can't.
Exactly.
I can't see that. They can't
I know,
see it, but
no,
I can't,
exactly.
can't, I can't look can't, outside can't, my
no,
window and glimpse a child. They can't
no,
exist
not.
In
Get
this
out
moment.
Of here.
So go away! So I, you know,
I'm watching my film.
I'm watching my stories.
I know. Oh, absolutely. And it was like, usually when I watch this kind of shit, I'm like, I need to be like in my bed, ready to go and beat my shit to high heaven at a moment's notice. Okay. I need to be in a prime environment. Like when I watch Baby Girl, I didn't see it in the theater. I wait until I could watch it home where I could beat my shit.
Period. Also, Period. Because I'm not Canadian, I don't know anything about Letterkenny, which is apparently what this guy is from.
Oh,
the
I love Letterkenny.
The show.
Yes. Which is genius.
He plays Pastor Glenn on Letterkenny and is also like the producer and writer and director on that. And this is his like big solo thing.
Yeah.
But I looked him up and it was like, he is of Irish and Jewish descent. And I was like, I know that's right.
Mm-hmm. I know that's right.
I love to see another potato pancake thriving homosexually.
Period.
He also was on Are You Afraid of the Dark, which is crazy, as like an actor when we were young. So I'm like, wow, living the dream now, making this filthy, filthy gay hockey show.
Uh-huh. He's doing God's work.
Which, by the way, the novels, this is based on the second novel in this series, but the first one was Captain America and Bucky fanfic.
Yes, fantastic.
Oh. In like a hockey alternate universe.
Uh-huh. Oh, she is.
She ended up like fine replacing the names and like putting it out as its own novel, which is something that more and more Fujos are doing. And I support that, frankly.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. 1,000%.
They are doing incredible work on AO3 and they deserve to be paid for it.
A million.
If they could, you know, use original characters. And what she said was, after the success of the first one as a, like a fanfic, she was like, wait, I would like to write my own characters. And so this second novel was just entirely original characters. Although I love that the Russian is named Ilya because, you know, our girl was reading The Man from U.N.C.L.E. / fanfiction like
you
everyone
know,
else after
know,
The Man
absolutely.
From U.N.C.L.E. came out.
Baby. I was posted up on my
you
iPad.
No, the Henry Cavill baby. And Army Hammer as spies Cold War / fanfiction era. That was
I was putting my iPad
beautiful
through a
era.
Fucking ringer, okay?
That was something. So, that was truly something.
Oh, the home button on my iPad jammed shut.
I also like that Jacob Tierney, the creator, he's been asked, like, so are these actors gay? And he said, that's none of your fucking business.
I did love that. I saw that today. That was so
He said,
good.
Actually, uh-huh. he's like,
he's like, it's also illegal to ask.
Yeah, he's like, I can't tell you because that's an illegal question to ask people
yeah,
at an
exactly.
audition, actually.
He's like, so if you turn this on, turn it on.
Think for a second. That's sexual harassment,
think for a
actually.
Second, how would I know as an employer casting someone for their job.
If they don't volunteer that information, I am not allowed to
exactly.
ask.
Exactly. How would I be selecting for that? Because that is, in fact, illegal. So turn this off.
But I do love the interview that he did with one of the stars, Hudson Williams, who plays Shane, the, like, sweeter Canadian boy.
Uh-huh.
They were talking about the chemistry reads that Hudson did with all of the other actors because they cast the two of them together because they were like, the chemistry has to work or it's not, the show doesn't work.
Of course, exactly.
He said, I said something like really crazy during the chemistry reads. I don't know if you like remember Jacob. And Jacob was like, yeah, I do. And he was like, oh, I mean, you could tell them. And Jacob says, what you said was, a lot of these guys are great, but Connor looks like he's going to hold me down and fuck me.
Yeah.
Tea, though.
The amount that I've moaned watching this show and during the press tour, they are giving it to you.
They're both cute, but this guy, Connor Story, who's doing a surprisingly good fake Russian accent.
Yeah, right?
Is so sexy, it makes me want to die.
I know, and he is like one of my favorite like flavors of white men that is just like angular, but not in like a Benedict Cumberbatch way, and like an actually hot way. Yeah,
in like a Da Vinci would sculpt him. Way.
Yes, exactly. There's like a little flavor to it, which I think is vital.
It's giving Leonardo da Vinci's quote unquote assistant who models statues.
Exactly. Yeah. No. Exactly. Da Vinci rent boy.
Yeah, which is like you know what? If you were in Vinci at that time, that was a pretty solid gig.
Period. Yep, this show is fantastic. Everyone watch. We will be reporting on it regularly.
No, literally after this, it's been about 12 hours, so I'm going to dive back into the last 20 minutes of episode one.
I know, exactly. I think I am on a strictly like co-watch basis with the show. But yeah, shut up. Shut up, delete that.
I'm not deleting that. It's fucking funny.
Shut, I hate you. I hate you.
You love me. But also,
I hate you. No, but I am revisiting the episodes privately to do what I need to do with the episode.
Yeah, no, that's important, I think. Yeah. I think that that is also, that will be necessary with Pillion also.
I'll go with
a friend to Pillion, but I also then need to spend time with Pillion alone.
I need to spend a lot of time with Pillion alone.
Did you see it won the British Independent Film Award?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Apparently it's fucking great. And Joseph
it's
Quinn.
Great.
Did you see that Joseph Quinn is like, it's my favorite film? They were like, so what's your favorite film of the year to like various people during the Stranger Things press tour? And he goes, Pillion.
Oh, I bet you think so.
Like,
I bet you think so.
I bet you love Pillion.
I bet you think so. Jordan's I bet you and your
friend,
my future
Joseph Quinn.
The like way future you and cameo Joza co-star.
Are going to have that boy running laps around the baby, track. It is girl, going to be...
girl. We're going to have him chained to a fucking wooden beam. Putting
flame
him through
on
the fucking
indeed.
Ringer. Flame on indeed. Ooh, light that bitch up.
But yeah, shout out to Jacob Tierney. Shout out to Crave, a network that apparently exists in Canada. Shout out to the Nation of Canada for bringing us this.
Thank you. Thank you for all of your good work.
And shout out to Fujoshi Supreme of 2025, Rachel Reed.
Yes.
I might even read the book.
Queen to me. Queen to me. I may, girl.
Because I want to see if the dirty talk is this filthy in the book, because some of those Fujos, they do go there.
Oh, they do. Oh, they do. Uh-huh.
The gay perspective that is brought here that's very clear is like the gay sex here looks very real, which
it
is
does.
Unusual
it
for
really
television.
Does.
And so that's fun.
Oh, yeah. It's like that one with like Jonathan Bailey and Matt Bomer. Like they're
fellow travelers.
Fellow travelers. Another show that I spent significant private time with.
Yeah. It is World AIDS Day this week, and I will confess, I could not get through Fellow Travelers because it was so sad, but I did watch every single sex scene, like seven times.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Extensively. I'm a scholar
and
in them now.
Listen, those are performances that are quite something. They act the fuck out of those sex scenes.
They act the fuck out of those. I'm like, there's like one specifically, you know which one I'm talking about, where I'm like, bitch, you're fucking
with the
him.
Foot?
No,
I'm not even
not
a foot
one.
Guy, and that one was
me,
crazy.
That one got a lot of that did high numbers in my home. Trust me, and I'm not even a foot person either. No, there is like one scene where like Matt Bomer is going in on that ass, and I'm like, you're just fucking him.
Yeah,
just
well, I mean,
him.
If I were Matt Bomer's husband, I would be like, just fuck him.
Just fuck him. Just fuck Jonathan.
We're gay. Exactly. It's fine. This is why we don't understand the drama on Vanderpump Rules, because it is just different.
Right. Exactly. Oh, and
we're straight
like,
people. We just don't. We don't get that.
I'm sure their chemistry read was just fucking him.
Yes, and like you
exactly.
know, legally
they're
they can't
gay.
Say that, but like,
no, exactly.
They're famous gay actors. They have had sex before.
They have had sex before.
I hope.
And also, like, they also legally they can't say that. Legally, I can't say that. Watching that scene, I'm like, you are literally fucking him in front of me. There's
no
way
you know
you're
what
not.
This guy's hole looks like.
Exactly.
This is not just acting.
Right? Exactly.
Come on.
I'm like, this isn't just acting. Also, I like refuse to believe I'm not witnessing dick and ass right now. I think you were quite literally fucking him on screen.
I could believe that they're not with everyone on set, but like I do think they ran dress rehearsal, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And
absolutely.
I love that for them, and I hope they did.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
That is intimacy love. coordination. That's
thank
the gay
you.
Version
exactly.
of an intimacy coordinator.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
Is it's you like, coordinating it yourselves before you get to set.
Let's intimately coordinate this intimacy.
Anyway, so Heated Rivalry, check it out.
Uh-huh.
I can safely say that, having only watched 25 minutes and 36 seconds of it or whatever it was.
Uh-huh.
When he was like, all right, good night, I was like, thank you and good night. I will see you tomorrow for the rest of this episode.
Yeah. I literally, first thing I did when I got home, I need to rewatch that. Lock the doors.
I need to see some more.
Uh-huh. Lock the doors, close the shutters, blackout curtains down. Let's run that shit back.
I want to officially apologize for any comments I may have made on the internet in my early 20s about Fujo's fetishizing gay men, because I take it all back.
You were so wrong for that. You were so wrong for that.
It was the era where like there was lots of like fanfic about Glee characters getting sexually assaulted. And I was like, can we stop with this?
Yeah.
But I shouldn't have painted with a broad brush, because you know what? Fujoshis are doing some of the most important gay activism of our time in this moment by creating things like this.
Period. Fujoshis are the backbone of our society. Trust me, I'd know.
By the way, bisexual king Francois Arnaud, the character he's playing in this is Captain America from the first book.
Yes.
From the Stephen Bucky.
Yes.
Bucky's like a barista or something, which is like, okay, this is boring to me. That's a fan fiction thing I can't get behind. But what I can get behind is Francois Arnaud as Steve Rogers.
Fantastic.
Sucking dick and cock. That's a good idea. And
beautiful,
I support
genius.
That entirely.
And we need it.
So that was a big cultural moment for me, mm-hmm. obviously. Yeah. We just did like a tight 20 on that. But
we did. Honestly, I think a like loose 30.
Yeah. Looser than I've been in a minute after watching that. I'll tell you that
girl,
for sure.
Ooh.
If that Russian Connor wants to call me up.
Baby.
I might test on the bottom channel for a second. You know, you never know.
Let me tell you, after I got home for watch two, I was looser than a motherfucker.
Let me tell you, you know I was. What was your other moment in culture this week?
Oh my God. Okay. So Connor, you were not involved in this and we need to find a way to remedy in this because like this is culture at its zenith. I have never seen shit like what I am witnessing on my television right now. And that is The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives.
Oh, fuck. Okay, so I watched the first season and I loved it.
Oh, my God. Yes. Yes.
But I haven't watched season two yet. So I need to binge two and then start three. Like, because I've heard it's crazy.
It's crazy, bitch.
Part of why I think I didn't like pick up when it was quickly right after the first one that season two came out. It felt like it was really soon.
Oh, no, they are working these girls.
It's like Selling Sunset. They just don't stop filming.
They never stop filming. Like literally, I finished season two yesterday once I was done with beating my shit raw.
Right, yeah.
Obviously. Finished season two yesterday and then started season three today. Like the first thing one of them says is like, so, like, the note that season two closes on, they're like, and the first episode is season three. And she's like, okay, so I haven't, like, mentioned this to this girl since, like, a few weeks ago when this happened. I'm like, bitch, a few weeks? They are running you bitches ragged.
It never stops. Ragged. But they're TikTok stars, so they're used to being on camera all the time,
exactly.
Right?
And you can tell, like, these girls are, like, being put through the ringer. They are churning them out.
I was happy when Jen Affleck got that Duncan ad mm-hmm. with Ben Affleck because I do feel like Jen Affleck is put through hell, both like in her life day to day, but also on this show. In the first season, I was particularly captivated by evil Whitney and her gay husband, Connor.
Yes. Oh, my God. Oh, wait, bitch. Because
she's gay too, right? Like they're gay. They're both gay. That's my read on it from season one.
I don't know about Whitney. I think probably.
That's
I don't
the most
know
lavender
about
marriage I've seen in a minute.
Thank you. Immediately, first thought, I was like, these bitches are gay. Don't fucking talk to me. Her husband, is it Connor?
Connor, another gay Connor.
That's crazy. Another gay Connor. I was like,
he also spells it correctly, I believe.
He
so
does.
I'm like,
he
it's
does.
It's fine.
Yeah.
He's allowed. He
literally,
is a closeted Mormon, which is sick, but it's fine.
He said one sentence. I just said faggot.
He also had a new hair color, like, every episode, which is the gayest
every single episode.
Seen.
Faggot. No, okay. But hold off on that. Don't go too far there, because you're going to want to watch season two before
I'm going to watch two and three, and then we revisit.
No, specifically about, like, Whitney and Connor, you will want to, like, wait until season two before you comment on that anymore, because it will add some very important color for you on, like, how much we should be talking about their lavender marriage.
Well, I'm excited, because I loved... The first season.
The first season.
Demi was my favorite, though, and I hear that she's a true psychopath in season two, which I'm also excited to see that unveil.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, yes. Demi, the arc of Demi has honestly blown my fucking mind, because I adored her in season one.
In season one, she was the realest bitch. I loved her.
No, the realest bitch. I fucking love her. I thought she was such a breath of fresh air. There were, like, things that I noticed. And, like, it's so funny because, like, I mirrored Jesse's kind of, like, arc with Demi because, like, spoiler, won't get into it.
Well, no, they're enemies now. I've seen that all over social media.
You've seen that over social. Yeah. So, like,
but they were best friends in season one, and they were the two that I liked.
Exactly. And, like, a lot of, like, Jesse saying, like, there are certain things I saw, but I don't know. She, like, speaks her mind, and she's just so, like, enthusiastic, and she's, like, so charismatic that I kind of just, like, look past them. And I was like, same, Jesse. So did I. Like, there's things you notice about Demi that is like, okay, girl, whatever. But then you kind of brush past them. But, like, throughout season one, like, I loved Demi. I was, like, I was team Demi the whole way through. And then I was like, oh.
I even compartmentalized her creepy husband who met her when she was, like, 14 because he was a family friend. I was like, that's fucking weird, but Mormonism is a small world.
Exactly.
They didn't get together until way later. Way later. But it's still weird. It's still weird, but she seems normal. So I'm going to, as normal as you could be in these circumstances, so I'm going to move it along.
I'm going to move right past that. Yep, exactly. And then that gets so much
I bet it does.
Because
more articles about it kept coming out. And I was like, this is weirder than it seemed, even on the show initially.
Oh, truly? And it mirrors like Vanderpump in a way that all reality TV does now.
This is why it's so good that you're watching Vanderpump. I know. Because this show is 100% of Vanderpump's successor.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Stassi is hosting the reunion for season 3.
Yes. Out tonight. I'm not going to catch up in time, but I will be watching it tomorrow once I'm like fully caught up on season 3. So Stassi hosting the reunion is crazy. I'm obsessed with this.
Unfortunately, you don't have context for Stassi because you've only watched season 1 of Vanderpump. People cannot say anything, but
don't
I'm just
say
saying.
Shit.
Worlds colliding in
this
way
also,
is funny.
Also, to everyone in the Discord, I am so sorry. I want to talk VPR with you right now, but all I literally see are just like blacked out lines from like all of your hidden spoilers.
Stop,
and it's like,
stop
I can't
posting.
Engage.
Stop posting, even with the spoiler tags, stop posting about anything after season 1 because Jordan
Thank
cannot
you.
Look at the chat.
I can't. And it's like, I just like, I can't look at any of this because I feel like I'm like dancing around fire every time.
No,
I'm in
I
there.
Feel the same way about spoiler tags. They mean nothing to me. I have obsessive compulsive disorder. I am going to click that.
No, exactly. Like, I am a mouse that will go for the cheese in the trap every time.
Yeah, like,
every
so just
time.
Don't do that, please.
Don't
I'm begging
do it.
You.
Don't. It's like, do I look like a bitch who won't play with fire?
Right.
Look at me.
Just don't.
Look at
just
me.
Don't do that.
My house is always on fire. I live in fire. I'm going to play with it. Okay? So don't tempt me.
Yeah, don't. Just don't. And, you know, maybe make friends and DM each other if you wanted to, because the people are
exactly,
blowing past
please.
Where we are in the recaps.
I know,
and I get
exactly.
that. But Jordan needs to be pure.
I want to talk about this with you all so bad. At this point, I like can't even engage with it. So please stay on season if you want me to be able to talk with you about it, for the love of God.
Public service announcement.
Important disclaimer. But anyways, yeah, so excited for like the reunion. But like, I love getting to see the original recipe of this because like this show is also so good in that vein of just like slowly peeling back the layers of these people's lives and relationships.
Of people who knew each other before the show, which
exactly.
is the really critical thing.
It's peering the camera deeper and deeper and deeper into these people's lives and like circumstantially making it harder to keep their secrets buried.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so good. It's so good. These women are all crazy. Like, I can't even, like, we need to talk about this. Like, let's talk about this more next week when you're all caught up.
I will try. I'm flying to Los Angeles and know what? Maybe I will get some for the plane.
Yes. Get like download a bunch for the plane. If you can catch up, I think we could either, I don't know. I kind of want it. I'm like split minds about like putting it public or Patreon. So let's discuss. But either way, you're going to hear from us on this.
You will.
This is the culture of the moment. And thank you. Big shout out to my premium sister. Love of my life, love of my heart. I love you so much, Emily.
Emily Vasquez, we love you. We love your work.
Emily Vasquez, queen of the world. 1,000,000,100,000,000,000,000 flowers for Emily Vasquez. She turned me on to this when I was so resistant to it.
Oh, season 1 was so good. I'm glad she got you on board because it really was so good.
I had never like heard a word of this. I wasn't even aware of like all of the internet shit around it.
Well, this isn't historically your kind of reality show.
No, exactly.
This like housewives adjacent thing.
Exactly. It's not in my oob.
But like, we're getting you there. We're dipping your toes in. It's fun.
You too are doing God's work, dipping me in.
I love that.
I'm so fucking geeked about it. So thank Emily for doing the Lord's work of introducing me to this. And yeah, I'm so excited for us to talk about it.
I am so fucking geeked about the trailer for Mother Mary that dropped today.
Yes.
Have you watched it?
Yes, I have. Oh, I watched it. Breaking news.
I mean, yeah. It's, oh, a psychosexual lesbian horror starring Anne Hathaway and Michaela
I'm
Cole. Have
seat.
We watched that?
I'm
yeah, no,
with,
like.
It's,
so I was dying because when they just did the poster the other day, there were like a million devout Christians in Anne Hathaway's Instagram comments, like, how dare you play the Virgin Mary and all of this other. It's like, she's not playing the Virgin Mary, she's playing a pop star named Mary,
right? Exactly, you fucking morons.
But the trailer looks incredible. I think that we are long overdue for Anne Hathaway to play a pop star, like an aging pop star.
I know, we've needed this. We
she's
really needed
meant
this
to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought that, really, I've said this many times, and I do still believe this is true, and if you're listening, I do think that Anne Hathaway should do the Liza Minnelli biopic.
Yes, absolutely.
I think that would kill. I think that would be her lead actress Oscar.
Oh, 1,000%.
But in the meantime, her playing a sort of Lady Gaga-esque theater kid turned pop star who is completely crashed out and like destroyed all her relationships is extremely my shit. This is what I want to watch.
Fantastic. This is like, again, made in a lab. Made in a lab. I'm so fucking sick.
And Michaela Cole as a scary lesbian fashion designer is not something I knew I needed, but she is so scary in this trailer already. But also, I feel like we will be rooting for her.
Oh, I know. I'm so excited to just like go
into this. The dynamic
between
them is already very complicated and interesting in a fun way, just from the trailer. Right? So I
know, exactly. I'm glued in. Excited. We don't know much yet, but I'm watching this space intensely.
Intensely. Intensely.
Intensely.
This isn't just a game, it's a once in a generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Do you know who else has been watching something intensely? Kim Kardashian's neurologist has been watching her brain intensely.
And this...
That's the most insane segue I've ever done.
No, but this is really true because this clip from the Kardashians killed me.
It killed me. This is one of those moments that ignited like a galaxy brain theory in me.
Yeah, no, and we talked about this and I agree with your theory.
Yes.
So share with the girls what happened and then where you think it's going to go.
So as we know, like Kim Kardashian, important pieces of context in like the overall dots I'm connecting and like peering into Kim Kardashian's master evil plan. Two important things. One, Kim Kardashian has like basically been a like Tesla Elon Musk brand ambassador. She has been like done photo shoots with his like new line of like AI robots or whatever. Doing sponsorship for like Cybertruck. She is like the most Tesla-pilled bitch on earth. She's the most Elon-billed bitch on earth. I don't know.
It's
how
a very
much
LA mental illness to have to it be is, extraordinarily Tesla-pilled.
I also think she's getting ungodly checks from that man.
Oh, I'm sure she is.
For the work she's doing. Another important piece of context is the bar, her recently failing the bar.
Mm-hmm.
My theory on this that I am like almost certain is what will come to pass. Is that Kim Kardashian is going to use her failing the bar and this like neural like scan that she is like.
Before we get into your theory, let's actually really quick explain what happened to people.
Yes.
Kim Kardashian did a neural scan. I don't know if it was like an MRI or something. I only just saw the clip of her reacting, but the neural scan revealed that she has very low brain activity for a woman her age,
which
really alarmed her because she was like, I've got a lot of shit to do. I need my brain to be active. And of course, there's a million memes now because like proof that Kim Kardashian doesn't have any brain activity and this and that. And everything. But I do think I have always felt that Kim Kardashian, whether or not she's like extraordinarily intelligent, she's very sly. And very smart in how she markets
things. I think
she's
an extremely cunning person. I would never say that, like, Kim Kardashian is an unintelligent woman.
No, like, she's not stupid.
She's not stupid, exactly. She is many, I could call that bitch many names. Stupid is not one of them.
Stupid is not one of them. And I think that here, you only put this out there if you are going to come, if you're a Kim Kardashian, if you are a Kris Jenner daughter.
Exactly.
You only put this out there
if
you are going to turn
leveraged.
It into a branding opportunity.
Exactly. If it can be strategically leveraged. And how I specifically think she's going to do that is we all know that Elon Musk is developing, testing, marketing his Neuralink like mental implant that like specifically is aimed at optimizing brain activity, among other things. I think this is all one long marketing rollout, like the failure of her bar. Getting this neural test to show that she has like low brain activity. I think she is going to do a Neuralink ambassadorship that is like, oh, I got the Neuralink implant and now I passed the bar. Look at what Neuralink can do for you.
This felt like my third eye opened when you said
yes.
This.
Yes.
I was like, wait,
yes.
Hold on. I'm ascending to the astral plane because I understand
exactly.
Suddenly.
Oh.
Literally, my chakras like, aligned instantly. I was everyone, like, wait, this everyone. Is it. This is, you're like, so
all of,
right.
All of Bagheera started clicking in my brain. Doors blasted open.
She is about to be
eye.
The poster child for neural implantology.
Exactly. Who was working in high brain capacity in that moment? Me, because every aspect of my brain she unlocked in that moment.
Will she actually get one? Unclear. But she will tell us that she did.
Absolutely.
And then she will pass the bar exam.
Exactly. Exactly. I am certain of it. Because, like, it's all just so immaculately and Kim Kardashian-ly timed.
And you know what? All's fair, honey.
All is
fair. When you're Kim Kardashian and the world is going to call you dumb no matter what you do, you might
Period.
As well monetize it.
And one thing she will do is monetize, because all's fair in love, war, and marketing.
And capitalism, as far as she's
capitalism
concerned.
Yeah. As far as she's concerned.
Like, there's no ethical consumption under capitalism, and
exactly.
so
she is going to
unethically consume.
Exactly. And she is going to make sure it stays that way.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah. I don't morally support it, but I do
absolutely not
understand it. And there is a sick respect that I do feel for her
absolutely.
Commitment to
yes.
the bottom dollar. I really
absolutely.
Do respect that,
absolutely.
Even if it is abjectly horrifying. I'm like, but
yes.
you know what? She has principles. They're not uh-huh. mine. But
they're not mine.
You can't
they
say
are.
She doesn't have an ethos, you know?
Exactly. Do I think this is abhorrent and sinister? 1,000%. Do I morally reject it on every level? 1,000%. Do I respect the hustle? Absolutely.
I'm like, you know what? Be the cyborg queen of the future. Why not?
Uh-huh.
Why not? You've been dehumanized since you were like 20 by the entire world. So
uh-huh.
like, I guess
absolutely.
Be... Simone with a Y.
Like, period. Her. Absolutely. No, Kim Kardashian, you have heard it here first, is the fucking, what is it called? Like, ultimate Sentinel or whatever it is. She is Kareem Ashapandar.
Omega Sentinel. Yeah, she's Kareem
Ashapandar. She is the Omega Sentinel. She is Kareem Ashapandar. Kim Kardashian is the Omega Sentinel.
Yes.
Yes.
Like, literally, yes.
Literally, yes. My second galaxy brain moment of this podcast. Kim Kardashian is the Omega Sentinel.
She is internet porn turning directly to you and saying, did you think we were just going to sit here and take it forever? That
exactly.
is who she is.
Exactly. That is who she is.
She is the Omega Sentinel fighting back.
I'm telling you. Yeah, she is the cyborg queen of her capitalist death knell. And she is going to usher us into the end of days.
And like, there's something beautiful in that. There is.
There is. There's something really full circle about this.
Yeah, it's like we're going to hell, but at least the tutelary entity taking us there is snatched as fuck.
It's sickening. And that is truly, I think, the way it was inevitably going to be.
That feels like the right ending for America.
Yeah, exactly. That is the note that America should go out on, because it will be our end. It will be our end. Absolutely. 1,000%.
She heralds our end.
Our end. She heralds his beginning. I herald
your end.
She heralds Neuralink.
I see that. I see that.
Yeah.
If Kim Kardashian actually like ascended and became a generative AI neural net, I would actually
uh-huh.
kind of love that for her.
I would turn me around on generative AI.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I would be like, you know what? It's Kim and she
absolutely.
Deserves to be the robot Skynet. That
no, absolutely.
No, I do feel that a little
honestly,
bit.
Honestly, like when Kim Kardashian becomes Skynet, I think will be the first time I like completely enthusiastically respect her.
That's the thing. Finally, the thing she will make that we will buy is when she becomes
yes.
Shodan from System Shock.
Exactly,
and we're all just like, yes.
Exactly. What I will buy is her pitch for me to abandon my human form and live
yes,
in her.
For me
in
to
her
shed.
AI
the hollow flesh that I have been
yes,
consumed
exactly.
by mortality in
uh-huh.
and become one with the cloud and with Kim
exactly.
Kardashian.
Exactly. And that is her first product that I will buy. Sure, queen.
I will want to buy it, I think.
We have no other options.
Yeah.
I will want to buy. I will have no other recourse, most likely.
Make me endless, Kim Kardashian.
Make me endless, Kim Kardashian. That is our title of that. And honestly, that feels like the truest ethos of culture right now. That's where we're at.
Speaking of mortality, do you see Club Chalamet in the Wall Street Journal?
I did. The immortal Club Chalamet.
I love her just being like, yeah, I am old. What of it?
Period. Period.
She's like, I'm not trying to fuck him. I think of him as like my nephew. I just want to help him win an Oscar because I'm obsessed with him and I think he's a real talent.
Am I old? Am I crazy? Yes to both.
Yes. However, yes. Stop saying I'm trying to fuck him because that's weird.
Exactly. Exactly.
Just acknowledge that I'm a psychotic person.
I'm
that's
old.
Fine.
I'm crazy. I'm not a pervert.
I'm not a perv.
I have that going for me.
I'm not a perv. I just really care about his career.
You heathen bitches cannot fathom the purity of my love for Timothée Chalamet.
This article, this profile of her in the Wall Street Journal is, first of all, the most important journalistic work that the Wall Street Journal has done in, I would say, a smooth 30 years.
I have not read it, and I'm so excited to.
It's so good, but most importantly, it is the photos. Have you seen the pics?
Oh, bitch, they're saved on my phone. I'm obsessed with them.
Okay, because like her with like the Doc Marten boot up on the table or whatever it is she's doing. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, you know what?
I'm gagged.
Play a
I'm
bit,
gagged.
Queen.
Eat it. Eat
her
it,
on
Ms.
the
Club.
Escalator going down, looking at her phone and looking over her shoulder.
Oh, I'm like, take it, Miss Club. Take it, Miss Club.
The whole profile is because she's announcing her new partnership with Substack because she is moving Club Chalamet to Substack as like a subscription
obsessed.
Service.
I'm obsessed. And I will be paying.
That's the thing. Like,
and
I'm
I will
tempted.
Be paying.
I am tempted to see this woman's delusions because I
absolutely
am intrigued.
Exactly.
She intrigues me.
Again, coming from land of Fujoshi, like, this is something I can completely respect.
Yeah, I just, like, she needs to lay off Kylie Jenner a bit. Kylie Jenner didn't
again, I know, her. Exactly, right?
But she says in this, she's like, I'm not going to talk about that. I just do think it's hurting his Oscar chances, and I have a problem with that. And I'm like,
very
all right,
funny.
But, like, you don't have to call her, like, his guest in every post.
I know, made. Right?
They've been dating
exactly.
for, like, 2.5 years.
Exactly. But it very much is like auntie who doesn't approve of her nephew's girlfriend.
Yes, which is funny.
Yes,
right. I don't.
It
I,
is.
After reading this, I don't think she wants to fuck him. I don't.
I
think
don't
she's
at all.
I just
no.
think she's an insane person.
I just think she's
I
crazy.
I can respect. Yeah.
Exactly. Many such cases.
Many such cases.
Uh-huh.
But so read it and let me know what you think because she tickles me.
I
what
can't wait. I'm so excited.
Is up. In science this week, Professor Deaver.
Yes, baby. Oh my God. So we had a very traumatizing one this week.
Yeah, can it please
or
be
last
fun?
Week.
Because
you know
I
what?
Can't. Editing that one sucked. I gotta tell
I know,
you, I did not
I
enjoy
I'm
that
sorry,
edit.
Baby.
I had to
no,
sit
I cried,
and like think
I cried
about dolphin Alzheimer's.
After. I cried doing the write up for it, and I cried after the episode.
And I spent like 3 hours editing that 30 minutes, and it was not fun.
I bet it wasn't. I bet it wasn't. Yeah, no. So I wanted to give us some good news out of science breakthroughs because H5N1,
oof, yeah,
the latest bird flu variant, it's also going to be, as I get my Substack back up, something that I'm going to be Science section plug. I'm really trying to have it up. We'll see. By next week, it may take longer based off of like how busy my like many jobs and actual fucking life is.
But the Professor Deaver brand must grow.
It must grow. It must expand. It must continue. It must consume all Kim Kardashian Skynet vibes.
Yes.
In the Jordan Empire. No, but that is something I already know that will be like a core of the relaunch of that is kind of like guiding people through this like planetary
crisis. It's bad.
Crisis. Yeah, it's really bad. Like people really don't understand the scope and scale of how bad it is. It is like truly, no exaggeration, catastrophic for all life on Earth.
But some good news,
So anyways, so you'll be getting some bad news soon. So some good
news. We're
going
to make it a sandwich. Yeah, bad news will happen, but let's have a little bit of good news. By God.
Professor Deaver is here to soothe your worried brains, your tired legs, your exhausted hearts, and give you a bit of levity sensually in a Professor Deaver lecture on how we have now found a link between EBV and lupus in a truly groundbreaking
discovery. This was so cool. I read about this. This is awesome.
Yes, this is incredible. This is huge. This is like a true life-changing discovery. Like, will change the state of the art for researchers who study lupus and, of course, in turn, people who live with lupus. I think this creates a lot of hope down the line on new treatment methodologies for this.
Because, like, where the fuck does this come from has been an issue with lupus forever.
Yes, exactly. And what has made it so difficult to live with, to grapple with, and to treat. In a new study out of Stanford Medicine, published in Science Translational Medicine earlier this month, researchers have discovered the exact switch inside of immune cells that a common virus, the Epstein-Barr virus, aka EBV, flips on that can accidentally cause the body to attack itself, leading to lupus, which is huge.
Because lupus is autoimmune. Now we know what the immune response is being triggered by.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, it's Epstein-Barr virus, which everyone has.
Yes, yes, exactly. Exactly. Dr. William Robinson, a professor of immunology and rheumatology and the study's senior author, said that this is the single most impactful finding to emerge from my lab in my entire career. We think it applies to 100% of lupus cases.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Meaning that we think we have now, after like the entire history of medicine, finally found the cause of lupus.
Well, it's like figuring out HIV and how it
exactly
leads to AIDS. It's like when
exactly.
you figure out what causes something, you are way ahead of the game now on finally figuring out how to treat it.
Exactly. And even more importantly, we now know like not only like how it's caused, we have figured like out the exact mechanism that causes it. So this is like a huge game-changing landslide discovery. This is incredibly amazing and huge news. And to break it down a little bit for you, two key players, lupus and Epstein-Barr virus. So lupus is an autoimmune disease where the body's defense system or immune system gets confused and starts attacking its own tissues, specifically the nucleus of our own B cells. We've talked about this in science sections before, if you're such good students and you listen so hard, where our immune system attacks our own B cells, causing inflammation and damage in the joints, skin, kidneys, the heart, the lungs, and elsewhere. It's a very pervasive illness. It can attack in so many different parts of the body. For reasons we still don't understand, even after this study, 9 out of 10 lupus patients are women. So that's going to be something we're going, like scientists are going to drill down into a little more. Another key player, Epstein-Barr virus, aka EBV. So this is an extremely common virus that causes mononucleosis or mono, aka the kissing disease. Over 90% of adults carry it because it can be easily transmitted by things like sharing a cup or kissing, but it's usually dormant and harmless after the initial infection. And it's so prevalent that it silently lives inside of 19 out of 20 Americans. Like
it's like chicken pox, like before the vaccine for chicken pox. Like we all got it and then it went away. And then I guess it could give you shingles when you're older, maybe. But mostly it's just hanging out.
The disease went away. The virus did not.
Right.
The virus still lives in us. Exactly. Doctors have known for years that people who have had EBV had a much higher risk of developing lupus. It was clear that the virus was a major trigger, and it was clear that the virus takes residence in B cells. We already knew where the virus lived in our bodies. And we also knew that some B cells become activated in a way that makes those cells take aim at the DNA and proteins inside of the nuclei of our own cells. But no one knew exactly if these things were linked or how this process even takes place. What the Stanford team found was the precise mechanism of how this happens and that these things are all linked, aka they discovered what this switch is, linked all of these kind of maybe they're related, maybe they're not players, and definitively showed that they are working together to cause this disease. They did this using a new sequencing system that they developed, which is so awesome, that showed one, that when EBV infects the body, it makes a special protein. Two, this protein travels into the nucleus, which is like the command center of your immune cells. And then once there, it forces a specific kind of like, best way to describe this is like a locked drawer inside of your DNA. They call this chromatin accessibility. Forces that open. And inside of that drawer are the blueprints for creating autoantibodies. We've talked about this before again.
Mm, yeah, that makes sense.
It opens that drawer, it accesses the blueprints and uses them to create like these misguided weapons that attack our own body in what ends up being lupus. So the net effect of like all of these genetic fireworks working together and taking place is that the B cells in our body become super inflammatory, enlisting the help of T cells that turn your immune system into like an auto-oppressive arsenal. To think of this super simply, the EBV virus is like a hacker who makes like a specific master key. The master key unlocks a specific, normally sealed like weapons locker inside of the armory of your cells.
It's like ransomware, kind of, like in the hack. Yes, it's like exactly. A Trojan.
Exactly. And that locker contains friendly fire weapons, too, that can attack us. The security team, our antibodies, starts using those weapons, mistakenly attacking our own body that it's supposed to protect. And that attack is lupus. Why do some of us, but not all of us, get autoimmunity? The researchers speculate that maybe only certain EBV strains can spur on the transformation of those infected B cells into the antigen-presenting attacker cells that broadly activate a huge number of other B cells. So basically, we think that it may only be certain strains that turn our own cells into that misguided weaponry.
So 19 out of 20 people have... Well, you know what it reminds me of, actually, is... This was a big discovery when we were in our 20s that HPV causes like cervical and anal cancer and things like that, right? But it's only certain strains, and there are many, many strains, and we call them all the same thing.
Exactly, exactly. So a majority, like 90% of people have EBV. We think that maybe only some of those strains of EBV turned on this friendly fire weaponry, so to
right.
speak.
Right, okay.
Which results in lupus.
And you might also need to have something it can turn on. Like they're still figuring out
exactly like
why
what
it
exactly.
happens to certain people, right?
Exactly. We now know it is EBV. We know it's driving this process. We now need to figure out why a virus that almost everyone has in their body, why only some of those are like turning right. into this. And that is the key next step in this.
But now we know what to look for. I mean, that's
exactly,
awesome.
Exactly, exactly. So it's a big deal for a bunch of different reasons. Number one, it explains this huge central why behind such a devastating disease. Lupus is a horrible, really confusing, awful, debilitating, horrific, painful disease to live with. It's devastating to experience. It's also a big deal because it's really specific. They didn't just find a general link. They found the exact molecular switch, which moves us from correlation, like these two things happen together, to causation. Here's exactly how this causes the other thing. And like we alluded to, it's also a big deal because it's a new target for treatment. So now that they know about this specific switch, the viral protein and the DNA drawer that it opens, scientists can work on developing new drugs to either block the viral protein, lock that specific DNA drawer, for lack of a better term, permanently. And this could also potentially treat or even prevent lupus in people at risk without shutting down the entire immune system, which is how many current treatments work. And is part of why even treating this can be so debilitating.
Right, because with autoimmune disorders, a lot of the treatment, because you have to
exactly.
shut down the immune response, which then is going to make you really immunocompromised, obviously,
exactly.
which is bad
exactly.
in other ways.
And like we've talked about before in like other autoimmune science segments, like a lot of our current treatments are like taking like a giant hammer and just smashing the whole thing.
Yeah, just drop a nuke in there and hope it works
yeah,
out.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And you won't have this problem anymore. You will have to deal with a bunch of
You'll have other problems.
Uh-huh, exactly. Because like, we don't have like the knowledge or the tools to be able to like really specifically target these things. This gives us a like very specific target. So that's huge in developing new treatments for people who suffer from this disease. This is like really life-changing. This is like a really bright ray of hope for people who suffer from lupus. And I hope anyone listening or who knows people in their lives that have it can take some hope out of this, because this like does open like a really bright new horizon for people who live with this disease. And it's just such incredible work from this team. So we love some good news, Connor.
I love good news. And I love,
we love good news.
Keeping it a little lighter. I do think it's
yes,
important
period.
For you to communicate, you know, but we need to be able to have a laugh a little bit.
I know we do. We do. And you know what? I think next week I'm going to like give us a little bit of good news alongside the bad news that you do need to know about it. You do need to know about it
yeah,
because
I
it's going to be very real, very quick. Yeah.
I think, you know, we want to
exactly.
balance things out. Similarly,
I know.
I've made the executive decision that Crime Corner is only going to happen when there's fun crime.
Okay, great. Great. Beautiful. I love that.
Because looking through true crime websites and stuff makes me want to walk into the sea.
Yeah.
And also it's like not it's not fun to talk about horrible crime. So I don't want to do that. But when there is fun crime, we're going to do fun crime. And boy, howdy, is there a fun crime this week.
Yes.
A parking inspector in the small town of Kempten in southern Germany has been arrested, as has his wife, on suspicion of embezzling more than €1 million from the parking meters throughout Kempten.
Oh. Oh.
I just really respect the commitment and the attention to detail that this crime required. I mean, obviously they did get caught, so, you know, and you shouldn't be stealing from the parking meters, because those are presumably used to like fund roads and things like that, and like the fire department or whatever else. Uh-huh. But I do think it's extremely funny to steal quarters for like years and eventually steal €1 million. I don't know what the coins are called. I'm sorry,
fortune
this is an American
of
podcast. But yeah, it's 720 counts of theft because they had to do it 720 times in order to steal $1 million.
Fantastic. I'm obsessed with this.
I just really, I think this is really tickling me.
This is one of my favorite scams. I'm honestly so sad that this person got caught.
Me too. In October, the Kempten Public Prosecutor's Office was informed cash was repeatedly being deposited into several bank accounts. Police then searched office premises in the early hour of 24 November. I love Europeans. That's such a weird way to talk about dates, but that's how they talk about them. The same day that a 40-year-old man and a 38-year-old woman were subsequently arrested. They're being held in separate detention facilities. It's not clear how long it took them to accrue this sum of money. And until the proceedings are concluded, Germany does have an innocent until proven guilty policy, and they are not releasing the names of these people. I hope that they did it. I kind of hope they get away with it, though, because like
I do too.
I know this
really
is like a bad. You shouldn't steal from public works. However,
I know
this is such a funny way to embezzle, and I'm sad they got caught. I am.
I am too. This is the kind of crime I want them to get away with. I'm just like,
yeah, kind of a little bit, especially because it's women in crime, because she was managing the bank accounts.
Diva.
He was the one with the government job that would like steal euro quarters out of the parking meters and then pass them to his wife, who would put them in various bank accounts in her name.
Oh my God, real lovers. Bring real lovers.
Real
back.
Lovers.
Oh, baby, 25 Bonnie and Clyde. Let's fucking go.
Yeah.
Let's fucking go.
Free them.
This is real lovers shit. Free them. Free them so we can all remember what true love looks like. And it's called Doing Crimes Together.
What's going on in music for you this week, Jordan?
Oh my God. Okay, so I am in a place that very much feels like home for me in music this week. Two things happen in music. One that is like for the kids, and one that is songs of the moment. There's two playlists that I have ads for right now, and both are centered in Queen of the World, Hikaru Utada.
Oh.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Do the kids not know Utada?
I don't know. Do kids?
They should if they don't.
Well, I think the kids do because of Kingdom Hearts and Simple of Clean Fame.
Right. I guess Kingdom Hearts is still current with Gen Z.
Absolutely. I think so. Simple and Clean by Hikaru Utada for the Kingdom Hearts game and soundtrack. One of the best songs in human history. Literally changed lives.
I don't even fuck with Kingdom Hearts like that, but that song kills.
That song goes fucking crazy. The first time I heard it, not either of the songs that I'm going to talk about.
No, I know, but I don't like a Donald Duck in my JRPG. It's a little bit like I don't want these two things together, but I respect the people who love it. I
am like number one Kingdom Hearts stan, and even I struggle with the Disney of it all being present in any capacity. I would have loved it much better if it was simply a Square Enix joint.
Just an original IP, yeah, right.
Yeah, just make it a straight Square Enix joint, but you know, IP boosting had to take place.
It has definitely endured because of the Disney of it all.
Absolutely.
So,
sure has. And also fantastic, perfect game. But no, when I first played that as a kid and I got it like on release day by chance, I just like walked into GameStop like the weekend it came out and was like, you're coming home with me. First time I put it on and heard that song, literally started bawling my eyes out. I was changed.
Well, she's good. She's good.
She's just good. You put the Oreo in the milk and it's just good.
And like gay advocate in Japan, which is a notoriously conservative country socially.
Yep.
So, you know,
huge.
She's been cool.
Uh-huh, absolutely. She's been
that song
cool.
Tomodachi about how, like, it's fine to be gay.
Yes, I love it so much. And every, like, all of her pro-gay songs are, like, slightly homophobic in, like, a fact
yes,
way.
Yes, it's like...
And I love it.
The same way that, like, anime and Japanese video games
exactly.
are.
It's very, like, slay queen.
It's like, guys, the culture's in a different place with this. You gotta let them
exactly.
cook a little
you
bit.
You have to let them cook. You have to let that pot simmer. But speaking of OG, real one for the culture... My song for the kids is Blow the Whistle, which is Hikaru Utada featuring Foxy Brown.
Yes, it sure fucking is.
For the Rush Hour soundtrack.
Inga Marchand herself.
Yes, bitch.
This song is Rush Hour.
Yes, this song is Rush Hour. It's Rush Hour in my heart. I'm stepping on the motherfucking gas when this bitch comes on.
The kids should not watch Rush Hour. Those movies are racist.
Yeah, racist.
And you won't like them,
fuck.
But they were
no,
really
the
important when we were young.
Rush Hour, not for the kids. Let that
not
stay in the
not for the
past.
Kids.
Not
the song.
For the kids at all. The song, Blow My Whistle, Foxy Brown, and Hikaru Utada, definitely for the kids. Because it is also gay history and history in general, because it is the first collaboration between an American hip-hop artist and a Japanese artist in history.
Mm-hmm. Like ever.
Ever. Ever. Trailblazer, woman of the world, woman of the people. Hikaru Utada, queen of everything. The song fucking whips. I like, it's on my like 90s R&B playlist that it's like I'm always listening to. And it just came on shuffle and I was like, my God, this bitch blows. My whistle's blown.
I remember being like, Megumi Hayashibara and Lil' Kim, you have 1 week to respond, was kind
you
of my reaction to this.
Yes, exactly. you have 1 week to respond to blowing up your house.
I was like, wait, because I was...
Megumi and Lil' Kim, you were going to start coughing in 7 days.
Yeah, because I like Foxy, but I was a Kim gay in the Kim and Foxy war, and I was
absolutely.
When is Kim going to come
so, obviously,
as a K-pop
so was
star?
I
need
right?
This.
I know, please. Maya Sakamoto hit her up.
I almost said Maya I was torn. Oh my God.
Kim and Maya would have done nasty.
Kisuke no Umi feat Lil Kim, bitch. Record Lodas War with Lil Kim Puritas costume.
Bitch.
Don't even start
bitch.
With me. Don't
record
even
of,
start
record of your host Lost War.
Period.
Talk about that, bitch. Record of Your Ho's Lost War is also title of that.
Like the Crush on You video, but in all white as Puritas
yes.
with the white wig.
Yes. Yeah.
I can see it.
Maya Sakamoto and Lil' Kim combining into Ultimisha. Bitch.
Period.
Money.
Period.
Period.
Renoa Hartley found dead.
Put that on Kingdom Hearts, ho. Anyways, so that was song number one. We just entered a fugue state there for a
second. I'm sorry. Sometimes we specifically have a JRPG queen out that's really important.
It's our brains sync up and access something heinous.
But it's because we talked about this in the Connor Makes Jordan intro on the Patreon, but like I didn't know the like weeby lore about you until we had been friends for like 3 years.
Uh-huh,
and so discovering our like mutual teenage Japanese video game moment. It was a very bonding gay experience for
absolutely.
Us.
Absolutely. It's new depths that we get to plumb. And
yeah,
so
it's
sorry
fun.
When we discover them in real time.
Sorry,
it's
sometimes
very
we
beautiful.
Have to queen out otaku style a little bit.
Sometimes sister must otaku out a little bit.
It's essential. Let One-san cook.
Let One-san cook. Period. That's our joint video game that we release.
That is the game that we will someday
release.
No,
honestly, that's my weeb like Twitch stream where I cook. Literally, let One-san cook.
Let One-san cook.
Or you, featuring all my friends. And I am going to make you dress up as Genji from Evangelion. I can't wait for this. Anyways, so song of the moment that I'm obsessed with is Minor Yours from Hikaru's new EP, but specifically the Blessed Madonna remix.
Thank you.
I've always liked her a lot.
I do. I fuck with Busted Madonna. She also did a really good Kylie joint a little bit ago that was fucking me up.
I loved that.
Absolutely. I also, fun fact, when like Blessed Madonna first like entered my awareness, I dead ass thought Madonna had just like gone by like a new Prince style moniker. I had no idea it was two separate people. And I was like,
that's so funny. I've known her since she was Black Madonna because she was a big DJ.
I learned about that later.
So yeah, well, but I was going to say, I thought it was cool that it was 2020. She was like, hey, so I'm changing my stage name because my family is Catholic and has worshipped the Black Madonna specifically, which does not necessarily refer to Black people. But given the conversation we're all having, there has been confusion about this my whole career. And I do feel like
I do think it's pertinent for me.
Weird. It's weird. Yeah, so I'm just going to change it.
Yeah, exactly. And now we're blessed.
Now we're the Blessed Madonna. And I just do think that that was a good choice. She also was on Rasheen Murphy's neck the other week, which I enjoyed.
Oh, yes. Period. As we all should be.
Because that one really fucking pissed me off. And so to see her contemporaries in the electronic music scene be like, fuck you, lady.
Exactly.
Was nice to see.
But you're weird as fuck.
You're weird. Go away. Exactly. You are literally like a traitor to the race of gay people.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. But for the like purposes of this discussion, is a race.
Only in this one context in which you could betray it.
Hyper-specific 30-second context.
It's like X-Men. It's otherwise it doesn't work. But it's the
Exactly. Purely so we can use race traitor in context. But anyways, the Blessed Madonna is throwing the fuck down on this Hikaru Tada remix. Mine Are Yours, this EP also has a Yeji remix on it that fucking bangs. Hikaru Tada does no wrong in my eyes, except when she does in a way that I think is cute.
That's me with Sheena from Vanderpump.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
I'm like, it's adorable though, so I don't
Honeys,
care.
Honeys, if you're gay, burn it up like a gay parade.
Honeys, if you're gay, burn it up like a gay parade.
I say it once a week.
That is one of the most iconic homophobic gay allyship lyrics of all time.
Yes. It is the one. It is the one.
It is the one, really. Uh-huh. I have always felt that Millie Bobby Brown to like lean into Demi Lovato with Poot. Or like Leah Michelle making jokes about being illiterate. Truly. I do think that Millie Bobby Brown should do a music video to that song.
Absolutely. Must.
Where she floors it at the gay parade.
Yes, exactly. Featuring Hikaru Tada. Yes. I think it needs to happen. I think that would be the best move of her career.
I really think so.
Absolutely. But yeah, I love Hikaru so much. She is like, I have so many songs that I adore. There's so many of hers that are like crazy and cheesy. But there are so many that are fucking like incredible, best in class pieces of music. Somewhere in Marseille is one of the best songs ever in history, in my opinion. And this one like follows suit. I fucking love this song. Hikaru, you're queen of the world. You're the queen of gay people. You're the queen of everything. Put some respect on her name. Send her flowers right now. Worship her. Thank you.
I'm going to go back just for 1 second because you said Genji from Evangelion. Did you mean Kaji or Gendo? Because this is important.
My brain is so fucking fried right
Gendo
now.
Gendo is Shinji's father, but Kaji is Misato's
Shinji.
I was just checking because I was like, I need to know which Evangelion character we're talking about here.
No, you're
because
you're
if I'm showing up to the Evangelion party, I am dressed as Ritsuko Akagi. I just want to be clear about that.
Period. Okay, bitch.
Sig out first fucking my boss. That is what we're doing here.
Period. 1000%. Yes. No.
Killing
absolutely.
Clones who are ungrateful little bitches. That is what I am doing at the Evangelion
exactly.
party.
And I am without a doubt 1000% every single time of every single moment of every single day. Misato Katsuragi.
Well, no, that's literally our friendship.
That's literally our friendship. Who we are.
Yes.
That
no, that is who we are. Yes, and exactly. It's really important. I am arguing with a computer based on the brainwaves of my own mother, kind of Kim Kardashian core, and you are drinking with a penguin. And that is who we are.
And that is who we are.
That's why I was like, wait, do you mean Gendo, Ritsuko's love interest, or Kaji, Misato's love interest? Because I needed to check.
Absolutely.
Be
no,
if
it's
you were
so important.
Wanting Gendo Ikari, that would be crazy.
I know. That would be that fucking would be psycho. Super crazy. That would be fucking psycho.
Ritsuko's
don't do that
crazy
to me.
For wanting him in the first place, to be clear. Exactly. I'm not saying I love my girl, but that's crazy of her. I'm
that's
just saying.
Psycho.
you know, I just needed to check in. That was just a check-in.
Yeah, no, it's very important. No, that was vital and great.
I also added to both playlists this week, I put a couple songs from Patti Smith's Horses on the For the Kids playlist.
Period.
So I think that it will be very, very funny for Horses to segue into Blow the Whistle from Rush Hour.
Period.
Because the kids should know all their history, right?
Yes, absolutely.
But my song of the moment this week, I do feel like we're just doing free promo for her a lot on this show, but this mm-hmm. album kills, is Demi Lovato dropped the deluxe of
Oh,
it's
I haven't heard
deep.
It yet. I haven't heard it yet.
There's only one new song, Joshua Tree. It is so fucking good.
Fuck yes.
I had made a joke on this show about how, like, among the things I don't get invited to is when my friends go camping in Joshua Tree because they know that I would hate that.
Yeah.
This song is, we got that Airbnb out in Joshua Tree. And I was like, I could do an Airbnb in Joshua Tree moment. I don't want to camp.
Yes. There
but
you
if
go.
A hot guy wanted to take me out to like an Airbnb in the desert, that's chic if he doesn't murder me. But here it's like a happy ending and they got married. So I think it's cute.
Period. Period.
We got that Airbnb out in Joshua Tree with a Polaroid picture of you going down on me. Getting lost in the heat out in Joshua Tree. Got you looking at the camera because I love the memories. 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 Make a movie and die in it so nobody else can see. Make it sweet memories. Got you looking at that camera cause I love the memories.
It's a really catchy little song. It's like silly, but it's overtly sexual in a way that she's usually more coy.
Okay, hell yeah.
It's like very direct about how like she's like, eat my pussy at Joshua Tree. And like, I think that
yes. Fantastic.
Fun.
Absolutely. I love this. Also, like famously as someone, like I take a lot of staycations. Joshua Tree mm-hmm. is a frequent favorite. I will just get my own little Airbnb at Joshua Tree.
Yeah, I thought of you. I was like, this is Jordan Core is an Airbnb
this,
out
so
in Joshua
Jordan
Tree.
Yeah, exactly. I take like a week like to myself, get an Airbnb by myself and invite like a local Joshua Tree man over to come out and eat me out on my like Airbnb patio.
This is a very you song and I think you will enjoy it.
It's something I did last year.
Demi is really in your orbit this year.
She is.
She is in the Jordan headspace.
Our planets entered mutual orbit this year in a way that I never thought would happen.
I love it for you and for her. The deluxe has three new tracks. That's the only new song, but then it has an alternate take of Ghost that is like a weird acoustic version that's kind of fun.
Oh, I'm
and
so excited for this.
And then a live recording of Let You Go where she's like, just in case you forgot, album is not about me singing, it's about dance music.
Baby.
Just in case you forgot.
Bitch. These pipes pipe down.
Nobody in my generation of girls has a voice quite like this.
Exactly.
I could belt like crazy.
I'm running circles around these hoes. Easy.
She gets a little whistle register with it. Like, she's having fun. It's good.
I know that's
it's good.
Right. I know that's right. My bitch. My bitch. What a week in culture, in
what
music,
a week.
In love, in life, in friendship, in sisterhood.
Before we go, we have to thank our Gigabits tier members.
Oh my God,
we love so much, and we will continue to love even after Kim Kardashian has welcomed us all into the cloud.
Yes, absolutely. I will love you forever.
Thank you to Daniel Castrillon,
Wyan Felber,
Cole Weathers,
Jamise Inquah,
Logan Clad,
Derek Foltz.
Why am I doing a baby voice? I don't know. I'm sticking to it. I'm sticking to it. Whatever. Fuck it. I've gotten this far.
Lily Leckler.
Andresha Omana.
That was eerie. It was eerie because it was not in a sexy baby voice. It was just
It was just straight baby. No, please don't sexualize this baby.
We'll unpack that off air because that was peculiar, but it's fine. It's fine. You know, sometimes things happen. We try new things.
We try new things. I know Connor does not like that.
And no, it's fine. I just was I was just taken aback by the
sudden baby.
It was new.
Who left this child here?
Well, George Severus's new comedy special just dropped, and he has a whole bit in it about how like gay people are having kids now, and like I'm happy for them on an individual level, but the whole point was that we didn't have to do this.
Right. Yeah.
So you're really, this is a problem for me now.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yes, and that's kind of how I feel when babies enter the chat, is I'm like,
yeah, exactly. Get the baby out of my chat. Jordan, get your inner baby out of my fucking chat.
It's not, we're not doing a baby thing here. It's not.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for my sin. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys. We love you.
We love you, whatever. Bye. Fuck off.
The Kibitz is a Cerebrocast production hosted, produced, and edited by Connor Goldsmith and co-hosted by the brilliant Jordan Block, with key art photography by Maxwell Poth and graphic design by Casey Knapp. Check out patreon.com/kibitzcast for more, including the Kitty Bitty, a regular bonus episode exclusive to the Patreon. Cerebrocast Productions, pop culture podcasts that make you think.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.